be found on page 980 of the Church Bibles. Bibles can be given out if you wish to indicate you'd like one. Matthew 13, verses 31 to 34. The parables of the mustard seed and the yeast. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowds in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. This is the word of the Lord.
Hello, everyone. Wonderful to see you. Let's pray. Lord, please use my words. Speak to us all this morning, we pray. Amen. I've been thinking a lot this week about influence and about Instagram because 2 weeks ago in the Sunday Times, there was an article all about Instagram. I don't know if anybody here is on Instagram. Anyone know anything about it? It's the new thing. It's the means of communication at the moment. It's the way people post pictures of themselves and people look at it and they like it and they accrue lots and lots of followers. And I discovered that some people are actually getting paid hundreds and hundreds, even thousands of pounds in order to put something on Instagram. They are the new cultural ambassadors, the cultural influencers of today, and they reckon that's the way advertising is going to go. So what has this got to do with us? Well, we are ambassadors for Christ, and we've been thinking a lot about growth and influence. How can we help bring about God's kingdom? How can we have a positive influence in the world around us? How can we grow? How can we release God's purpose in our lives and be that positive influence for good? How can we play our part in God's kingdom? And so we come to today's parable, which is all about the mustard seed and the yeast. And I think the frame will come up with the mustard seed on it. Thank you very much. So he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. A parable is simply a story told to illustrate some sort of spiritual truth or moral truth. And we've got two parables today. And the first one is about the mustard seed. And the second one is about yeast. And it just struck me that Jesus used everyday illustrations, just life, in order to teach various truths there. So, how can we work out our faith? What is all this thing about the mustard seed? If you look on the picture, there's actually a hand with a tiny, tiny dot in the palm. That is how small a mustard seed is. It was the smallest of all the seeds in ancient Palestine. And you'd plant it, and it would actually grow to about 8 to 12 foot high. That is incredible. The farmer, we're told, took the seed and planted it in the field. I mean, it sounds like not much work, dig hole, put seed in. But I'm sure he tilled the ground. I'm sure he prepared the ground first. He put the seed in. He watered it and waited and waited and waited. And that seed grew and grew and grew. You're probably aware of that old English proverb, from tiny acorns, mighty oaks or tall oaks grow. From something really, really small, something really, really big can result. Now, earlier I had the pleasure of dedicating young Seren. And Seren is now 2. And yet 2 years ago, or 2¾ years ago, she'd have been a tiny group of microscopic cells. And already she's grown. and, you know, come back in another 20 years' time, and she'll be a sort of fully grown adult woman. Small beginnings can lead to great results. Something very, very small can lead to something very, very big. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast. Now, wave a hand at me if you make bread at home. Anyone here make bread at home? A few of us? Yep, okay. Now, keep your hand up if you don't use a bread maker. Oh, wow. That's impressive. Well done. Yeah. I have memories. I don't know if you have memories too of your mother making bread at home, but I do. And Mum would spend ages and ages with her hands all covered in flour, kneading and kneading the dough. And then it would get put in a pot, covered with a damp tea cloth, put in the airing cupboard. Ring any memories for people? And then again, it would get kneaded and so on. And eventually the bread would be cooked. You can't see what's going on. Now, bread makers have taken a bit of the labour out of it. They're a bit quicker, but there is nothing like fresh bread. I was wondering, you know, what does the yeast actually do? Well, I can tell you the chemistry of it. The yeast metabolises the sugars, eats up the sugars in the flour, and it produces carbon dioxide. And so, piece by piece, those little carbon dioxide rises and the whole bread rises. Again, the woman has to work hard. It's not easy to make bread. It takes ages mixing it all in, mixing the dough together. You don't get instant results. You have to wait and wait. And again, from something really small, like a tiny bit of yeast, you can get masses and masses, loaves and loaves of bread. So that's just a very quick summary of those two parables this morning. So what do they show us? They show us that wherever you are, you need to work wherever you are. What is your field? For the chap in the story, it happened to be literally a field. For the woman in the story, it happened to be the kitchen where she was making bread. The parables show us that it takes a lot of time. It takes ages and ages. You don't get instant results. And thirdly, the parables show us that growth is hidden. You cannot see that plant growing under the ground. You cannot see what the yeast is doing inside the dough. So let's think about that work wherever you find yourself. This is a quote from Jim Elliot. He happened to be a missionary that was murdered in Ecuador, as it so happens. And he said, "Wherever you are, be all there. Wherever you find yourself." So I want us all to think today, what is your field? Where do you find yourself? And at different points in life, you find yourself in different places. So I've been reflecting. So for 12 years of my life, my field was the school gates. I spent 12 years at the boys' primary school just chatting to other parents, other carers. Hours and hours of my life. And if you like, that was my field. But seasons changed. You might be in a different time of your life where you have a different field. It might be university or college. It might be the workplace. It might be at home. It might be in Bristol. It might be abroad. It might be where you live in supported housing. It might be in the coffee shop. And we're going to hear in a short time, first of all, wherever Rob is, he's going to be coming up and telling us a bit about the particular field that he has found himself in. We recently did a local mission audit. You may have noticed in your Friday email and been one of the 73 people who sent us replies, which is great, talking about where you're involved in local mission. And some people, it was really interesting, wrote down, I work on the school PTA. And somebody else my field is the Scouts. It was fascinating that those people could see that they may not be involved in a charity in Bristol as such or a local mission, but for them, working in the Scouts or being on the school PTA, that was their field. So what is your field at the moment? I'd like to invite Rob to come up and Paul to come up, and he's going to ask him some questions about your field.
I'm... part of it. Can we have both lollies on? Thank you. I'm doing this because Rob shared something with me a few weeks ago, and I've been waiting for a chance to get them at the front just to tell us a little bit about it. Rob, let's get first things sorted first. You're not a Bristol boy, are you?
No, I come from a little further south than Bristol.
And where would that be?
Well, everyone's got a guess. Somewhere in the southern hemisphere, if I keep talking long enough.
New Zealand.
Actually, I always like it if people say New Zealand because I have the opportunity of saying no. I'm from the big island off the coast of New Zealand.
That is how the Kiwis see Australia. So that would be the same Australia that's just beaten us again at rugby, would it?
It would seem to be the case.
Okay, Rob. So what industry do you work in?
I work in the nuclear industry.
And some while ago, God prompted you to do something a little unusual, perhaps, in the nuclear industry where you work.
Indeed, just being aware that there were potentially other believers in our workplace, I was able to start a Bible study.
And you had to go to your boss, I suppose, to talk about that. So you work in the nuclear industry. You went to your boss to ask if you could start a Bible study. What sort of reaction did you get?
Well, going back a few months, the matter originally arose with a few Muslim colleagues who indicated that they would like a prayer space, somewhere that they could pray during the day, as is their habit. I was brought to the management meeting, and the initial response was, well, no, we don't have to provide them a prayer space. But I supported them and suggested that, well, no, we don't have to, but we should support them if we can, and if there's a space available, then we should do so. So subsequently, I raised it again with my manager in a one-to-one meeting, and I said I would also probably like to use that room to have a small Bible study, to which he responded that he was unsure that he was comfortable with one of his managers running religious meetings in the workplace, to which I responded, well, don't think of it as a religious meeting. Think of it as a book club, and we only study one book.
I hope you're taking notes, people. This is good stuff. Rob, because we don't have a huge amount of time, please do chat to Rob if you'd like to know more, particularly if you feel prompted to maybe think around something similar. Just give us one effect of this decision since you've been going.
Well, we started off a couple of months ago now. We started off just with an informal lunch together and just chatting with each other, learning about each other and church backgrounds. And then we've been able to have some actual Bible studies and prayer time together. But I sent out an email, again being aware that there could be other believers in the workplace, which said something like, a number of us that share a Christian faith meet together at lunchtime to have a informal chat and Bible study. And we got a few more responses from that. So two things. One, it's a great opportunity to have fellowship in the workplace, to share with each other, to encourage each other, to help growth. But it also sent a witness to the people in the workplace that there's people that are willing to nail their colours to the mast, so to speak, and say that they stand with Jesus.
Thank you, Rob. Let's give him a round of applause, shall we? So I do encourage you to take inspiration from that and think what you could do. After all, we can't have the Aussies beating us at everything.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks, Rob. So what is your field? Have a think. What is my particular mission field? If you are particularly interested in what's going on within Bristol, can I encourage you to come for Heart for the City on Thursday, the 9th of November? We've got an evening here where you'll hear about various initiatives and things happening within Bristol. Do come along to that. So we've been thinking about wherever you find yourself, what is your particular field? And it might not be the same as it was a few years ago. Secondly, it takes time. It takes time. Plants take a really, really long time to grow, to germinate. I used to teach about tropical rainforests, and I have this very interesting fact for you, that a fully grown hardwood tree in the rainforest takes 100 years to grow. That is amazing. Things take time. It takes ages and ages. I don't know if any of you have ever tried growing things, and again, you're waiting and waiting. And with little children, has anyone ever planted cress with them? Because cress is quite quick. Years ago, I used to be a brownie guide, and for my golden hand badge, I had to grow something, and they suggested radishes, because again, they're quite quick, and every day I'd be out there thinking, has my radish grown? Has it grown? Has it grown? Because we're impatient, aren't we? We want to see instant results. Back to that woman making bread. It takes time. It took a really long time for the bread to rise. It takes a long time for a plant to grow and come to fruition. And I think there's a tendency in Christian life to want instant results, for things to happen quickly. There's a tendency to say, well, I've done that. Why isn't there something happened? Or I've just changed my spiritual discipline. You know, why have I not got an instant change in character? Things take time, like the yeast, to permeate through, time to come to fruition. And in this 21st century, we're often very hurried and rushed. So little Saren we saw earlier, she is changing every day. But if you saw her today and tomorrow and the next day, Malcolm and Lucy wouldn't see any change in her. But the friends, the relatives, you may see her less often. When you suddenly see her after a few months, what do you say? Oh, how you have grown. But change can be imperceptible, very, very slow. We had a prayer letter this week come through from Jock and Katie Hughes, and I would encourage you to take it. And they are in Indonesia translating the Bible. And they've been there 35 years, 35 years. When they went to these remote islands, the Dobel language wasn't even written down, so they helped devise an alphabet. They helped to build up the written language, and they very slowly translated first a gospel, then another gospel. They've nearly finished the New Testament now. And in the prayer letter, it was so encouraging. And if you have a look, you can see this blue book on the screen, and it says Lucas, which even I can translate from Dobel. It means the Gospel of Luke. And they were talking about helping the people to read Dobel, helping them to read in their own mother tongue and the difference it made. Again, the prayer letter talks about when they were teaching the people to pray in their mother tongue. This has taken 35 years, and they're still not finished yet. They're now working, in fact, on St. John's Gospel there. There was one quite funny bit in the prayer letter. Somebody read the translated scriptures and said, "This is so clear, we no longer need to have sermons." I like that bit. It takes time. You don't see instant results. Malcolm, are you happy to come up now? And again, can you just share a little bit about the field that you have found yourself in and maybe something about the fact it takes time?
Thanks, Janet. So Janet asked me if I had any experiences of what she's been talking about in my kind of work and life. So I think one of the strong things that I've experienced is when you walk alongside somebody. And often when people are in a hard place as well, you want to see instant results. But actually, when you truly walk alongside somebody and to really help them, it takes a long time. So I've worked with homeless and with ex-offenders, people in addiction. And examples of that, success stories, they never happen in a couple of months or in our kind of year. We always have goals for a year for some reason. But actually, they're years. So one example of a guy who he was been in prison, came out, wanted to get work. I connected with him through a job creation social enterprise, and saw something in him that was, I thought, this guy can really do something and turn his life around, and gave him some work, and then kind of worked with him, trained him in a few trades, building trades. And now, 7 years later, he's got his own business and he employs his cousin. And it's just an example of and he's a great guy. He's got a home for his wife and small kid as well now. So that's just an example of something that takes time to invest into people.
Thanks. Thank you so much, Malcolm. That's great. It takes time. Next week, Andy and Emma Murray are coming to Christchurch. Andy used to be in at Trinity to set up a food bank. Emma just had that seed of an idea God planted in her mind to set up a food bank. And now, 7-8 years later, there is the big Bristol Northwest Food Bank, which we support. So do come next week and hear Andy and Emma talking about their experiences. But it's taken time. Be patient. God is at work, but things take time. And so we've thought about working wherever your field is. We've thought about the fact it takes time. And finally, the growth is hidden. And again, if you're growing plants with children, they're desperate for it to poke up above the surface. You can't see what's going on. But as plants grow, their root system is developing underground. You cannot see the growth. You cannot see what the yeast is doing to the flower whilst you're waiting for the bread to rise. You cannot see what is happening to the plant when it's in the field. Spiritual growth is like that. It's often not perceptible. It's hidden away. The changes are happening, but you cannot see. I mentioned spending about 12 years of my life at the primary school gates. I don't know the results of those conversations I had. People knew I was a Christian, but I don't know what influence I had. I don't know if they will remember me at all. Again, for 11 years, I taught in a further education college. And you do what you can. People knew I was a Christian. I think they probably knew I cared for them. But I don't know what effect my life had on them. Very occasionally, you bump into students and they'll tell you something or other they remember. Not always what you want them to remember, but usually they'll tell you something they remember about your lessons. You don't always know what effect you are having on people by living alongside them. You don't know the effect of the prayers that you have prayed, or the way that you lived and worked, or the things that you said, or that time you asked them about a sick relative, or offered to pray for them, or took them to a carol service. The growth is hidden. So, two parables, the mustard seed and the yeast. We need to work wherever we find ourselves. It takes time. And also, the growth is hidden. You don't always know. The final person we're going to hear from is Pat. So I'd like to invite Pat to come up. And Paul is going to ask her very quickly. Pat has an awful lot she could tell us, so do chat to her afterwards. But Pat, I'm going to particularly ask you to talk about your present mission field of the coffee shop. I think Paul will interview you.
I wasn't expecting Paul to interview me.
Weren't you? That's okay.
All change.
So if you don't know what the coffee shop is, those of you sitting there are sitting in it. So that's open during the week. And Pat, you're spending a bit of time there. Just tell us briefly what you're doing.
I am, yes. For some time, we've thought it would be really good to use the coffee shop as reaching out to our international visitors and students. And this, we thought about it for several months. But this term, a small thing has started, and it literally is very small. I got to know one of the girls who comes sometimes on a Wednesday. I said, shall we meet for coffee? So we met for coffee. And I said, I'm thinking of doing this every Tuesday. Would you like to come? And she said, yes. And then somebody else came along, a lady who is a Christian from our congregation. So there were three of us. And then this lady invited another person, so there were four of us. And she's invited someone else. Now there are five of us who meet on a Tuesday. It's just a friendship group at the moment. But there are opportunities to talk to people, to get to know them. And I feel so much, and this is what God's put on my heart, especially for international mothers with young children. They are very lonely at times. And I just feel this is what God has put on my heart. Can I just tell you one thing that happened on Thursday? Because I think it's very, very important. I happened to be here on Thursday with another mum having coffee. And I was both excited and sad. Excited because she was with some other mums too. And I saw a lady come in and I walked across and spoke to her. This lady was from Russia. She'd just come to see the bridge. And then she said to me, I said, are you on your own? And she said, my mother died 6 months ago today. And I was able to just, and could see it was still painful. And before she left, I said, can I just pray for you? So I kept my eyes open and just asked God to bless her, basically, and to say thank you for bringing her here. That's a good bit. The sad bit was, for some reason that morning, three other people came into the church who I couldn't talk to. And then a couple came into the church. And because I was talking to someone else, I couldn't talk to them. And Hannah and her team are busy serving coffee and looking after that side of it. But we do need people who will give time just to have a cup of coffee. That's all we need to do, and be there. And I know that Jane from the preschool has been wanting us to have someone there who could meet with her mums if they want to come up and have coffee. Now, you see, I can't do any more. That's what I've done.
And you can't say any more either, Pat, but you're brilliant, isn't she? Absolutely brilliant.
Excuse me, it's
not. She's saying it's nothing to do with her, it's what God does. That's not true. Pat is using her gifts. She's an amazing befriender. And not all of us can do all the things that we've heard about from the front. But in a minute, when Janet's finished, we're just going to have a chance to reflect on what God is asking us to do.
Thank you. Thanks, Pat. Do go and chat to her afterwards. So, the parable of the mustard seed and the yeast. We're called to work in whatever situation we find ourselves, to think, what is my field? We're called to give it time. It does not happen quickly. And also the fact that growth is often hidden from our sight. Final word comes from St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 3. Paul writes, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. It's a really good reminder. We are not responsible for the growth. God is the one who makes our seeds grow. God is the one. Our responsibility, as Chris reminded us 2 weeks ago, is to put ourselves in the environment, to help prepare that environment where God can do the growing. Great results can come from very small beginnings. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. So our reward will be treasures in heaven. It won't be the thousands of pounds that Instagram people are paid. I love that reminder. We are co-workers in God's field. The kingdom of God is growing everywhere. It's taking time. The growth is hidden. And yet, from very small results, from very small beginnings, great results can happen. So let's finish now. And I'd like us all just to spend some time thinking and reflecting. Work wherever you are. Where is your particular mission field at the moment? Where is your field? It takes a lot of time. How patient are you? Are you one of those people desperate for quick results? And finally, the growth is hidden. Again, are you aware that the growth is often hidden? We do not know the effect we have on others. So let's just be quiet now as Paul comes and leads us and reflect on those things.
So we're going to have a chance to respond in two ways now. We're firstly going to spend a few minutes just being still and allowing God's Spirit to talk to us, particularly about where we are. The phrase, this time tomorrow, it's a good phrase to have. Where will you be this time tomorrow? I want you to visualize in your mind's eye that context, the people that you regularly see. And we're just going to be still. We're going to take a couple of minutes just to reflect, to allow God to speak to us in whatever way he wants about where we are this time tomorrow. Where is our field? Where is our area of service? And from everything we've heard this morning, what is God asking us to do in that place? I'd like to encourage you to pray about those places. We always want to get this balance right. Some of us, we're all different, and some of us just like praying on our own. That may be a general thing, or that may just be for today. So if you just want to pray quietly, please indicate that as politely as you can to anybody around you. If you'd like to pray in twos or threes, please do that. And if you're new to this, but you're willing to give it a go, a great question is just to say to somebody, how can I pray for you this week? What can I pray for you? We're just going to do that for another couple of minutes. So whether you pray very quietly on your own, that's absolutely fine. If you just pray in twos or threes, we'd love you to do that as well. So for the next couple of minutes, that's what we're going to do.